Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
And welcome for the very last time, a big cheer, the very last time this conference, anyway, this weekend, Pastor Gary Morgan!
Come on. Thank you much. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. Let's give it up for this team, amen? Thank you, guys. Is that a PRS? Come on. Feel an offering coming. You can take your seats, thank you. Wow. Wow. Amen? Wow. God's going to do something tonight. And the reason is because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst and there to bless. Not to correct, not to direct, but to bless. And we've got to understand the blessing of God. It says the wisdom of God makes one blessed. Another translation says rich, but this is the thing, is we have to realize when God gives us something, he blesses us. Not to just be blessed, but to be a blessing. Amen? Amen. You see, being blessed doesn't mean you're the richest man in the street. It means everyone else's. Being the richest person in the street means everyone else's. Amen? Yeah. Because you're blessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're blessed. And God wants to, I think, give us an understanding, really, of what he's bringing us into, of really awakening in us. I love the word awaken because it means that we're sleeping. You see, to fulfill a dream, you've got to wake up. To fulfill a dream, you've got to wake up. And sometimes we're in a dream, but God wants us to wake up to fulfill it. Yeah. You see, I want to say this over us right now at this time. The day of my spiritual awakening was the day I saw and knew I saw all things in God and God in all things. Let me say it again. The day of my spiritual awakening came when I saw all things in God and God in all things. God wants to open our eyes from contract lenses to contact lenses. When we see the world, we can't see a contract. We have to see contact. And God wants to give us contact lenses, not contract lenses. Amen? When we see things in God, we can't say, now I've got a contract, because God never gives us a contract. He gives us a covenant. And you see, a contract's based on you, a covenant's based on him.
Yeah.
And he's already signed it in his blood. The question is, are we accessing and living out everything he's given us?
Yeah.
And I feel like there's an awakening that's not just happening in our lives, but there's an awakening happening through our lives. And something's stirring in me for this house. The last session, guys, I presented something, and I'm going to present it again. You can't see it because it's so small. But what's there for many is insignificant, but its power is significant. Because to some people, it renders absolute terror in their hearts because of not just the potential, but the power of what that is. But from where you're at, you can't see it. But what that is a mustard seed. And the Lord said to me years ago, he said, son, if you want to see it, you've got to seed it.
Yeah. Wow.
And many of us want to see the fruits of things in our lives, but we're not willing to sow the seed of it in our lives. And I want to give us, if I can, some keys in the time we have together on what it is and what needs to be sown into our lives to not just sustain, but to steward what God is doing. Because it's great what's happened these last 48 hours, but the rubber hits the road tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And we've got to keep sowing. And we've got to keep allowing that seed to take place in our lives, because there's seeds that God wants to sow, because there's fruit that this world needs to eat. You see, the fruits of the Spirit are not about your behavior. It's about your boldness. For the fruits of the Spirit are what? Love. Joy. You see, we think these are things that are going to keep us on the straight and narrow. No, no. They're not modifiers for behavior. They're mandates for belief and boldness. That I am the love of God wherever I go. I am the joy of God wherever I go. You see, if a fruit, I tell you, my favorite fruit, you know what my favorite fruit is? Any words of knowledge? Do you know what my favorite fruit is? It's a strawberry. Do you know why it's a strawberry? Because a strawberry is the only fruit that has a seed on the outside. And God wants us to be a people who have seeds on the outside. We're not burying our seed. We're presenting our seed. Because there's a world that needs the seed, because God wants to grow the fruit in their lives. Am I speaking to somebody? And there are seeds that God wants to sow in your life, because there's a fruit that God, that the world is needing to eat. You see, if you see the fruits of destruction, then God wants you to start sowing the seeds of restoration. God doesn't want us to come with our fruit. You see, I've had enough of fruit and nuts in the church, amen? And in some churches, you go, it's whole nut. But God ain't looking for fruits and nuts. He's looking for people who are willing to be seeded. Because if the world is going to see it, we need to seed it. And he's looking for a people of seed. He's not just looking for a people of fruit. And that's what we're trying to be. We're trying to mess with things. We're trying to expedite. We're trying to speed up things. And you see, friend, there's an intolerance in this world against things that have been messed by with man. How many people are gluten-free here? Put your hand up. I'm going to pray for healing for you tonight. The reason you're gluten-free is because someone messed with a protein they should never have messed with. And we become intolerant to bread because it's not in its pure form. The last time I read, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. But man has messed with him. And man has messed with something that's caused the world to become intolerable to the man-made Christ instead of the Son of the living God. Am I speaking to someone? And people become intolerant to religion, but I tell you, they're hungry for relationship. And God is looking for a people who are intolerable to religion, but hungry for relationship. Because we're willing to sow authentically. We're willing to sow supernaturally. We're willing to be a people who posture themselves to just give themselves wholeheartedly to God, not because it's a hype, but because it's a hunger. Yeah. Am I speaking to somebody? Yeah. And that's who God's gathered you tonight. He's gathered the hungry. He's gathered those that are willing to become a seedbed for God, to say, Father, whatever this world needs, here's the garden of my heart. Because God's after a garden. We fell in a garden. Now we're going to stand up in a garden. You know, I love John 20. One of my favorite things about Christ. How many people, when they think of the resurrection, think Jesus floating 2 feet off the ground, dressed in white? Bible doesn't say that. It says he resurrected, and Mary came to seek him out. And all of a sudden, she turned. And the Bible says, she supposing him to be the gardener. Why did he look like the gardener? Because resurrection is about taking us back to the garden. And only a gardener knows the garden. And the reason he looked like a gardener, because the mandate of resurrection was restore us not to the fall, but to the call. That we would have dominion. That we would be able to multiply. That we would be able to be fruitful. That whatever we put our hand to would be fruitful and multiply. And friend, tonight, if I can take the biggest hammer I've got, and if I can shatter something tonight in this place, I want to shatter the divide between sacred and secular. Because if you can say God can only prosper that which is sacred, my friend, you don't know the heart of God. Because there's people in this room tonight God wants to use to bring absolute reformation to places in society that you have access to. You see, you can go to places I can't, but I can go to places you can't, but together we can go to all places. And God wants to release you. God wants to sow you tonight. And I feel like we're in a barn of this place, that God's going to break the barn to scatter the seed tonight. And I feel like we're going to be sown. There's going to be a sowing tonight in this place. Amen? And God wants to sow some seeds in our life that's going to help us become a people who can sustain and reform what He's doing in this land. Because God isn't wanting us just to be people of show. He doesn't just want us to be people of fruit. He wants us to be people of seed. And this seed right here is a seed Jesus talks about. He said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain and it'll move. Jesus wasn't speaking figuratively. He was speaking precisely. Because that can move a mountain. If you don't believe me, ask a builder in the Middle East who builds with sandstone. Because this little thing gets in a crack, gets into a crevice. And over time, all of a sudden it begins to germinate. It begins to sprout. And all of a sudden as it grows, it begins to move. That which has been found in. And all of a sudden it begins to move. And it begins to move. We're literally... full sides of buildings have fallen to the ground because of one seed. It is illegal to have mustard seed in places in the Middle East. You have to have certain containers and containment for mustard seeds. Because this can destroy. But it can also be a place of destiny. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, God wants to put us into the crevices and cracks of society, so that we can begin to shift culture. So that we can begin to affect culture. That we can begin to bring down the empires of man and start building the kingdom of God. Am I speaking to somebody? And that's who He's gathered here tonight. But there's three seeds I feel like the Lord wants to sow tonight in this place. Am I speaking to somebody? And I don't want to get evangelical tonight, but I've got three P's. But I haven't got the poem. Amen? There's three P's that God wants to sow into our lives tonight and wants us to sow. And if we can sow these in our life, I believe we're going to see something supernaturally happen, not just to us, but through us. But it takes sowing these seeds. You see, guys, we can't be a people who just come to the field on a Sunday. Because if we become Sunday people, God moves beyond that. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Am I speaking to somebody? And the three P's that God wants to plant on, God wants us to sow. Everyone say, I'm going to sow. God wants us to sow. We're going to look at number one. Everyone say, number one. Number one, we're going to look at prayer. God wants us to sow the seed of prayer.
Yes.
You see, the Bible says the prayer of a righteous man avails much. I'm sorry, ladies, if I have to be a bride, you can be a man. Amen? Sorry for the visual. But the prayers of the righteous avail much. How do I know that? Because something happens with prayer. It says that prayer, one of the things I want to tell you right now, prayer is not a monologue, but prayer is a co-signature of that which has already been agreed to before the foundation of the earth. Prayer is an agreement. And it's not an agreement that is contractual. It's an agreement that is attractional. It's an agreement that as soon as I agree with heaven, it attracts the resources of heaven. You see, the Bible says, where two or three agree, it shall be what? Established. The greatest tool of the enemy is to bring disagreement in the body of Christ. Because where there's no agreement, nothing can be established. And you're wondering why a lot of times over your life is work in progress never ends. You see, we're fed up of under construction, amen? I don't want to be under construction. I don't mind the work in progress, but I don't want to be under construction. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, we have to find the place of prayer. The prayer of the righteous avails much. The next P that God wants us to sow into our life is praise. He wants us to sow praise. Because if we can sow praise, the enemy scatters. You see, it wasn't a whisper that brought down the walls of Jericho. It wasn't a 24-hour prayer meeting that brought down the walls of Jericho. It was praise. Praise does something. Praise, not just on a spiritual level, but on a physical level, changes literally things within your body. On a molecular level, it is scientifically proven that praise changes something. But praise changes atmospheres. You see, if you want to see the greatest power of praise in Scripture, in a new covenant context, you got to look at Acts 16. And the Bible says, let's turn in, let's make this meeting legal, amen? Acts 16. And the Bible says, verse 19, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were depressed watching Dr. Phil. It doesn't say that, does it? Again, we read this like we're watching Disney. Guys, this is not a Disney movie. This is a taken situation. This isn't fluff and bubbles. This isn't popcorn worthy. They're in prison, but not just in the prison. They're in the innermost prison. They've just had rods put on their back. But the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing and pray unto God. Why did they begin to pray? Like I said, the prayers of the righteous avail much. Why did they begin to praise? Let me give you this key. They began to praise because they understood the power of praise. And the power of praise is this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
The Bible also says that as we praise, that God, what? Invades the praises of His people. I want you to see something right here. If God invades the praises of His people, and the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. When God came into that prison, He realized where He was wasn't conducive to His nature, so He had to do something about it. Because a prison isn't liberty. And when you begin to praise in the midst of a situation, when God invades that praise, God recognizes that whatever's happening isn't conducive to His nature. Therefore, He has to do something about it. You see, God's called me sometimes not to pray for the sick, but to praise over the sick. We saw it last night. You saw a sound go out. And when that sound of creativity and praise and worship went out, all of a sudden it hit people and realized, wait a minute, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And this person ain't in liberty, they're in pain. Yeah. Yeah. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord has to do something about it. We see in Acts 16, all of a sudden they began to praise. God invades the prison. Liberty comes in and realizes they ain't in liberty. So what does he do? God does something about it. But he doesn't just do something about it. Let me show you what he does. The Bible tells us, suddenly, not in a minute. You see, my wife says to me, honey, I wish you would respond to me like God responds to his people. Honey, can you unstack the dishwasher? I'll be there in a minute. I want an axe encounter, honey. I want a suddenly. And I say to her, honey, if you had a suddenly, you're not going to be able to handle the fire I'm going to bring. You don't want a Pentecost. Amen. And it says suddenly. Everyone say suddenly. There was a great earthquake, not just an earthquake, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Friend, when you praise in the midst of your situation or circumstance, God doesn't deal with the surface, he deals with the foundations. He doesn't deal with that which is seen, he deals with that which is unseen. And sometimes we are tormented by the unseen. Sometimes we are tormented by that which we can't even see. But when God, when we begin to praise, God deals with the unseen and the seen. Am I speaking to somebody? It says the prison was shaken and immediately, my gosh, we haven't even got a suddenly, we've got an immediately as well. Immediately, what does it say? All the doors are opened. Everyone say all. All the doors are opened and everyone's chains were loosed. It doesn't say theirs, it says everyone's. That's why when God wants to do something to you, he automatically does it through you. And that's why we have to realize being blessed doesn't mean you're the richest one in the street. It means everyone else is. Because there is an osmosis of opportunity that God brings. Like I shared with you the first night, when you show up, options change. Because you brought an atmosphere that isn't conducive to the atmosphere that everyone else is in. Therefore, God does something about it. Every door was open and every chain was loosed. Friend, we have to realize when we pray, our prayers are bigger than the problem. As we begin to sow prayer, because it's effective, when we begin to sow praise, because it's demonstrative, we'll begin to see prison doors open, chains loosed, and everyone walks free. I tell you, I used to pray prayers flippantly, and then God used to answer them, and I realized it was dangerous. It was dangerous. Because I realized what I pray doesn't affect me, it affects everyone in the radius of me. God said to me this, he said, son, I want to make your personal space my powerful place. Because if Peter's shadow could heal people, why can't ours? People come into the context. People come in to the atmosphere and something happens. Yeah. I believe it. Every time I walk into an airport, I say, God, something's going to happen. Every time I walk into a plane, something's going to happen. Yeah. I don't believe I'm getting into a tube of demons. I believe I'm getting into a tube of destiny. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? They got 4 hours, 4.5 hours from Melbourne to Perth and Perth back to Melbourne to sit in an atmosphere that I can begin to change. Yeah. Do you believe me? I tell you, every time I say the Lord, if I get upgraded into first class, I want to demonstrate your kingdom. Me and Sarah. Me and Sarah get on a plane in Toronto. And we're on the plane. And all of a sudden, we get to the gate and they say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Morgan, we just want to let you know you've been upgraded to first class. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. So we're there, seat 1, you know, A, B, we're in C and D. C and D. 1C, I want a C. Lord, I want a C. I'm in 1C. I don't want to be 2C, I want to be 1C. And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the guy doing the, you know, the... I'm like, Lord, if this is a moment, like any, it's a moment now. That guy is like a bulldog with bees in his mouth. You can tell, he was just, like, you see depression. And guys, you're my heart. I'm saying he was depressed. And he's doing this, and all of a sudden, I look at Sarah, and that glint is in her eye, and she's dangerous when she gets this glint in her eye, because I know something she's going to do. So all of a sudden, I'm like, I start expanding my heart. You see, this is one of the things. Maybe if I come back, I'll take you through a masterclass of how making your personal space is a powerful place. And all of a sudden, I began to allow the context, allow the truth that is in me, my peace to literally, let me say it like this, I expanded in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I began just literally to, in my imagination, just to see my heart open up and connect with the guy. The rivers of living water. You see, some of us are just believing for trickles of truth. God wants rivers of reformation, amen? And I opened my innermost being. I said, Lord, let rivers come out. Let rivers come out. I don't care if it floods the plain, but let it come out. And all of a sudden, he's doing this, and he looks at me. He catches my eye, and he's like... and he's he's snorting like the pig. You know, he's like, we haven't got this Kermit on the flight. We got flipping Miss Piggy. He's like... And it's not like, that's all A, folks. It's like he's going for it. And all of a sudden, he's like starts laughing. And I'm just like, more Holy Spirit, more Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I just do this. Everyone do this. I just do this. And I look over, and there's a woman and a guy. And he's gone, he's calculated, you know, making money. And she's just sitting there reading the magazine, you know, she's got her Versace, and she's got her little Prada bag, and there's me with my little Adidas, and I love it when God upgrades the beggar, amen? And so all of a sudden, I'm like this, and I look over to her, and she's looking at me, and she's like, she smiles, and then all of a sudden, she puts the book down, and she does this. And I just look over to her and I say, it's good, isn't it? And she's like... And the guy's laughing his head off, and all of a sudden the guy's making money, and he looks over and he's like, grabs her hand and puts it down. And I'm like, why? Because I decided to be a thermostat and not a thermometer, amen? I decided to change an atmosphere. As we got off that plane, the guy handed us a $200 voucher and said, I don't know why I'm giving you this, but you've just made my day. Give us a $200 flight voucher. And I'm like, God, I'll open the rivers anytime you want to. But friend, I want to challenge you tonight. What is the atmosphere God wants you to change? What is the seed he's wanting you to sow? That seems insignificant, but wants you to bring a significant impact. But it starts with you sowing seeds. That every day, God, I'm going to sow a seed of prayer. I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 5 seconds, but I'm going to sow it. You and me, Jesus, for the next 5 minutes. I'm going to make sure when I get in the car that I've got praise music on. Not because I want to be religious, but because everywhere I drive, I love it in spring. I love it in summer. I love it in autumn. Not so much in winter because you freeze your backside off. But I like opening all the windows and blasting Bethel. I love blasting Bethel. You know, you walk in, you know, I'm no longer a slave to fear, you know, driving through communities. Why? Because I want to sow praise. And the last P God wants us to sow is this. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Because the last seed God wants us to sow. And this, if you can sow these three seeds in your life on a daily basis, I'm telling you, friend, it'll change your life. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, it says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did the disciples. Here we see the word again. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came out of nowhere. Friend, we've got to understand something here. This woman didn't just come from Chemist Warehouse. She came because she had an issue. And I believe the church has been hemorrhaging for too long and is looking for an authentic connection with Jesus because we've been hemorrhaging for too long. Am I speaking to somebody? And it says, suddenly a woman with a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind him and touched the hem of his garment. I shared with you the other night the funny story about touching someone's garment. But I want to tell you right now. Did I share with you? No, sorry, it was School of Prophets. I'll share with you. I'm in a conference with Bill Johnson. And God says to me, go and touch the hem of his garment. And Bill was wearing this, you know, these really nice shirts. You know, they come down to about here. And the hem is right there. And so I'm standing there and I'm like, and God says, touch the hem of his garment. I'm like, no, Jesus. Came a second time, touch the hem of his garment. I'm like, no, Jesus. How many people know if God says the third time, it's better to be obedient than you be the sacrifice? Amen? And I walked over to him and I'm walking. And it was like, how many people have seen Sherlock Holmes? And all of a sudden, like, he does it in slow motion, how it's going to happen. And I'm seeing this thing unfold in slow motion. And all of a sudden, he's standing like this, and I'm coming towards him like this, from this side. And I'm thinking, I'm looking for this part right here. All of a sudden, I'm walking. As I put my hand out, he turns. Thankfully, there was 6 inches between me and Bill. And I'm there, and my hand is not in an appropriate place. Amen? And he looks at me, and he looks down at my hand, looks back at me, and he smiles. I said, Bill, I'm so sorry. The Lord told me to touch the hem of your garment. And he said, well, go on then. I wasn't bleeding before, but I was bleeding after. I know something was coming out. But I was like, good Lord. You see, God, we're after a connection. People are looking for a connection with God. Am I speaking to somebody? But the woman touched the hem of his garment. Why? For she read on the Elijah list that if she touched the hem, she'd be made whole. Ho. No, sorry, I'm reading the wrong scripture. For she got a prophetic word at a prophetic conference that if she was to touch the hem, she'd be made whole. Does it say that? No. Oh, sorry. But she went to a prophetic presbytery and got a 40-minute prophetic. No, it doesn't say that. What does it say? For she said to herself, if I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She prophesied the breakthrough. The third P God wants you to plant in your life is the prophetic. But it's not a word to you, it's a word through you. Because your words create worlds for you to live in. And she said to herself, if I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. And the Bible says, and Jesus turned around, just like Bill Johnson. And when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well that very hour. Everyone say hour.
Hour.
I want to teach you something. When we speak the word of God, It's not based on the chronos, it's based on the kairos. And there's many people are living in disappointment because they believe they missed the appointment of God, because they live life in the chronos of man instead of the kairos of God. The Bible says she was healed that very hour. This is what happens. We get prayed for. We pray for someone. All of a sudden, we don't see an instant answer. And we move from appointment to disappointment. And faith becomes doubt. And all of a sudden, something's aborted. Let me teach you the difference between healing and miracles. Miracles are instant. Healing takes time. And sometimes we pray for miracles expecting a healing, and we pray for healings expecting a miracle. We've got to understand what we're praying for. Because if we don't understand, we can't stand under what he's doing. We'll stand out from what he's doing. Am I speaking to somebody? And some of you in this room tonight, you're living in disappointment because you stepped off the train too early. And God wants to put you back in the timeline of God tonight, in the chronos of God. Sorry, the kairos of God, not the chronos of man. Am I speaking to somebody? Yeah. She was healed that very hour. But Nations Church, I want to decree something over you right now. As you begin to prophesy, as you begin to sow these seeds into your life of prayer, of praise, and the prophetic, something is going to happen. And we see what's going to happen. Five chapters later, turn with me to Matthew 14. Are we getting something tonight? Yes. The last couple of verses. Verse 34. And when they, being Jesus and the disciples, crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick. And begged him that they may only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched them were made perfectly well. Why? Because one woman's testimony, one woman's prophetic word became a powerful testimony that released a region. And as we begin to prophesy, as we begin to sow seeds of the prophetic, all of a sudden someone's going to hear about it. You see, they didn't ask him to lay hands. They didn't ask him to stay. That's all they said was, hey, we heard about a woman. Now, can anyone tell me who that woman was? No, you can't. Because right after that, Jesus continued and went and raised Jairus' daughter. But I'm telling you, he's looking for a people who are willing to interject with Jesus on the way of a journey. Who's willing to get Jesus' attention for the sake of a nation? Who's willing to get Jesus' attention for the sake of a city? That you know what the answer is, but you see, the word of God in your mouth is as powerful and as effective as it is in his. We just need to speak it. And as we speak it, and we say, if only, and boom, we release the prophetic word. I'm telling you, one day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years from now, someone's going to be here. Hey, something was done in Nations Church. Nations Church did something. I'll tell you, I recognize the moment. If we do it, guess what's going to happen? Yeah. And I'm not talking about a principle. I'm talking about a power. Yeah. I'm talking about a testimony. And so as you begin to sow seeds of allowing prayer, praise, and the prophetic to be sowed in your life, you'll begin to see, I believe, a revival and a reformation happen for you personally that becomes corporate. Yeah. The issue is we're expecting God to do it corporate so it hits us personal. No, it begins with us personally.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't come to be revived. We come because we are revived.
Yeah.
We don't come to be touched. We come because we are touched.
Wow.
We don't come to see the fullness. We come because we're full and we want the overflow. Am I speaking to somebody?
Yeah.
There's something marked on you guys. Nations, I want to say to you right now, I want to invite the team up. Just like that. I beat you to it. I want to speak over you right now as we come into this, as we come into land this time. There's people in this place. God wants to give you seeds of prayer. There's people in this place. God wants to give you seeds of praise. And there's people in this place that God wants to give you seeds of the prophetic. I'm telling you something. God's going to stir something in this place. And as a prophetic act, I want to give this to Pastor Ken and Chrissy. That this is the beginning. Bless you. Come here. Come on. We're going to pray. Just hold this in your hand. Yeah, he can come as well. Come on. Come on, Isaiah. He's okay. He can just do what he wants. He's like my boy. My boy comes up and speaks with me when I'm on the platform. And he stands in ways I stand. And he points in ways I point. And you realize you're just training him for the next generation. Amen? Father, right now, as Lord, as we release this seed, Lord, I thank you for multiplication in the nations. And Lord, as we sow this seed of reckoning, as we sow this seed of awakening, as we sow this seed of beckoning, as we sow this seed, Father God, of multiplication, of mandate, Father, of mission, as we sow this seed today into the crevices and cracks of this city, Lord, I thank you. Culture is going to arise because culture eats strategy for breakfast. And Lord, I thank you the culture that you are cultivating through this house right now. And Lord, I thank you that you are sowing seeds. Lord God, of praise, of prayer, and the prophetic in this house. And as them pillars, Lord, are released, Lord, I thank you that a canopy over this city is established. That, Lord God, this place would be known as, Lord God, a place as the house of God. Lord, I thank you that a city can host a move. And a house can move a city. In Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I bless Pastor Ken and Chrissy Lee. Lord God, to be sowers. To be establishers, to be harvesters and distributors, Lord God, of kingdom exploits, endeavors, and encounters in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want us all to stand in this place in Jesus' name. The awakening started when I recognized and realized that God was in everything and everything was in God. And I want to say over you right now, you're in Christ. And there is a stirring, there is a depositing God is doing in this place tonight. Can you play in the key of D for me, my friend? Are you already there? Oh no, he took it up. I want you to bring it up if you can. Guys, if you can bring this, the pad right up. Because God's wanting to do something here tonight. He wants to establish the seeds of prayer, the seeds of praise, and the seeds of the prophetic.
Yeah.
You see, this is what it says to me. There's three things. If I told you 3/8 are what? What are 3/8? 24. Pray for 8. Praise for 8. Prophesy for 8. That's where you get 24/7. What's Psalm 24/7? Lift your heads, O you gates. Be raised up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory might come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. When we raise doors, and when we raise gates of prayer, praise, and the prophetic, something tangible takes place in our city. How do you shift? You do shifts. We've seen this in South America. We've seen this in Korea, where people have 8-hour shifts of not work, but worship. What does it look like for each and every one of you to take a minute a day. Each and every one of you took 1 minute in this place and you decided to pray, praise, and prophesy. Took 1 minute. I tell you, we could cover with Nations Church a whole day. What if we took 5 minutes? What if every person said something on their phone for 5 minutes and we put them into literally 5 minute slots throughout the day? We could cover the day with prayer, praise, and the prophetic. It just takes culture, guys. God's a mathematician, amen? But we sit there like, oh God, there's a mountain. I can't do 24/7. There's no way we can do it. You just need an apostolic mandate that says, hey, you just take this time, you divide it by this, and guess what? You got it. Wow. 8, 8, and 8 is 24. 8 is the prophetic number for new beginnings. This is a new beginning. This is a new era on this house. Things are never going to be the same. I'm telling you right now, supernatural activity is going to increase in this house like you've never believed. People are going to walk into this place, come into the osmosis of this atmosphere, and literally going to get healed because of the sound in this place. You see, it just needs the prophetic to open your eyes. It just needs the apostolic to show you what you're seeing. Am I speaking to somebody? And so, Father, right now, friend, I'm going to pray that God would activate whatever is dormant in your life. But I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to sow your life. But this is what sowing your life is all about. It's giving your life over to the unseen. Because when a farmer sows a seed, he doesn't go out every day and look at the field and go, oh, please, I hope this is going to happen. He knows. Why? Because there is a law that has been established before the foundation of the earth, that what a man sows, he'll reap. But to sow something is to give it over to the unseen. You have to bury it. And the last time I checked, God isn't looking for living people. He's looking for dead people. Amen? For I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but He lives in me. And this life I now live, I live in the flesh through Christ. In the flesh through Christ. But when you sow something, you give it over to the unseen. Why? Because you bury it. You can't see it. But you give it over to the unseen. Friend, who tonight is ready to give their life over to the unseen? Over to the uncontrolled, over to that which cannot be determined, that which cannot be factored, that which cannot be manipulated, that which cannot be destined. But you know that God has determined that what a man sows, what a woman sows, they will surely reap. But we've got to give ourselves over to the uncontrolled. We've got to give ourselves over to the unrestrained. We've got to give ourselves over to the unseen, knowing that in due season, God will bring a harvest. Friend, you've got loved ones right now who are unsaved. Give them over to the unseen. You've got debts right now you can't pay. Give it over to the unseen. Let God work something in the unseen that's going to burst forth in a due season and bring you a harvest. Come on. Come on. Wow. Wow. Yeah, come on. There's a sound. There's a sound of a harvest. 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 There's a sound of activation. That God is wanting to activate and accelerate in this place today. Lord, we give our lives tonight. We give our lives on the 21st of July, 2019. We give our lives to the unseen, that you might be seen, God. We give our lives to the unseen, that you might be seen. Whew. We we saw our lives in prayer, in praise, and the prophetic. God, that every moment becomes a movement of prayer that is not please God, but is thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you lead us into all triumph and diffuse to us the fragrance of Christ. Thank you that the cities are going to cry with the praise of God. Lord, that every day I'm going to sow the seeds of praise that is simply, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. And to you are all things, and from you are all things. You are worthy of it all. And I'm going to sow seeds of the prophetic where I look at a nation, where I look at a people, where I look at a person. And I begin to speak the plans, the promises, and the purpose of God. And I bring encouragement in Jesus' name. Wow. Are we ready to step in so we can step out? Friend, I wanted you to determine in your heart, not as a place of hype, but a place of hunger where you can say, I am determined in my heart. That's what the Bible says about giving, is about sowing. Let a man determine in his heart. Friend, I want you to be determined tonight that I am going to give my life to the unseen, to sow prayer, praise, and the prophetic. I'm not going to hold back, but I'm going to see a harvest. What does it look like for a group of people to lay hold of that truth tonight? And to begin to allow culture to begin to infiltrate and begin to see dominion begin to happen, so that we can see cancer rates drop because someone's praying. That we can see suicides drop because someone's praising. We can see literal poverty drop because someone's prophesying. Because your seed has to bear fruit. It's not a question, it's an answer. It's not a question, it's an answer. Your seed has to bear fruit. But you need to know this. Sometimes God is looking for a man to plant a tree whose shade he would never live under. It's called generational. God is looking for a people who are willing to prophesy the words they will never see come to pass, but you know someone will. God is looking for people to write songs that they might not never sing, but people in the prisons of China will. People in the poverty places of Africa will, because you're willing to sing it. You're willing to praise it. And so I want to decree tonight that we are moving into unseen things so he can be seen. I'm not talking about decrease. Friend, I don't pray that prayer. Jesus never said that. John the Baptist said that. I'm fed up with these prayers. Lord, I must decrease that you might increase. No, because Jesus said greater things will we do because he's going to the Father. Jesus didn't speak decrease over us. He spoke increase. Therefore, it's a detriment to him for me to pray a prayer of decrease. Am I speaking to somebody? So I want us right now to determine in our hearts what we're going to pray, what we're going to praise, and what we're going to prophesy. I want you to determine in your hearts. And I don't want this to be a responsive, oh, well, that's great. Thanks, Gary, for tickling our ears. No, I want to entrust your hearts tonight to this. Amen? So while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, this adventure begins with an answer. And his answer is Jesus. And friend, if you come into this place tonight and you've said to yourself, I don't know what that crazy guy's on about with an accent, but something is stirring in my heart And I want to connect with that tonight. Friend, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus and the adventure he wants to take you on right now, I want to invite you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you realize that your life is more than the existence you're living. You realize your life is more purpose than you're living. You realize that your life isn't a question, it's an answer. If that's you tonight and you come and you realize that you need to surrender, you need to give your life to more than you're living right now. Friend, I just want you to put your hand up and I want to pray for you. If that's you, just put your hand up. Put your hand right up and just give me a wave. Friend, I see that hand. Bless you. Is there anyone else? Just put your hand up and let me see it. I see that hand. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Just give me a wave right now. I want to pray for you. You know your life is worth more than what you're living right now, and you need to surrender it to Jesus. If that's you, just give me a wave. Yes, I see the hand. God bless you, my friend. Wow. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else before I move on? I don't want to miss you tonight, and I don't want you to miss this opportunity. Friend, if it's you, then just give me a wave. You know, your heart's beating. You know, God wants you to respond tonight to the greatest adventure you'll ever have in your life. How do I know that? Because at 18 years of age, God took me out of Wales, out of a valley, set my life on a course, and it's never been the same again. Friend, if that's you, just give me a wave. I want to pray for you. Put your hand right up so I can see it. I see that. God bless you. God bless you. Friends, I want us to pray a prayer together. I want us to lead these beautiful people, not into religion, but into relationship with him, into a purpose and a passion that's going to change their lives. Let's put our hands in our hearts. And those that put their hands up, just pray along with everyone else, because we've all been you. I'm here every day, amen? I want to give my heart to Jesus every day. It's not a one-off thing. But pray this prayer. Say, Father, I receive the gift of your Son. Thank you for sending him to this world you loved and saving me. I'm sorry for everything I've done that separated us. I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to set my life on a course of courage, of compassion. I thank you today that I was born for purpose. In Jesus' name, I receive your love. I receive your grace. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's go.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.